Well, praise the Lord. Are you not glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Out of all the places you could be, God saw fit for you to be here. And that's because he has a plan. You know, I remember something Minister Kendi said, whom she's taught me so much just by looking at her. She's the kind of person that teaches, and she ain't even aware she's teaching you, but she's just dropping bombs. And she's that chick. That's her. And I remember the first time I was talking to Minister Kendi about something, and I said, isn't it a coincidence? And she said, I don't believe in coincidences. And I remember, okay, all right. But then the more you think about it, in God, there are no coincidences. God is a God of intention. When he does even the most minute things in our lives, it's by intention. And so it is by intention. It is intentional that you are here today. And I just want to pray before we start. Amen? Amen. Father God, we thank you for the word that is about to come forth. We pray that you would circumcise the hearing of your people today, Lord God, and that their hearts would be open to what you would have to say. And Father, even the things that may cause us to reflect in a different way than we'd like to, Father, we pray that you would just solidify this word, seal this word in the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We send love from Pastors Joshua and Corinne. Yes, we miss our pastorals, but they will return, praise God. You know, if you were here last week, or maybe you tuned in, you heard a powerful word from Pastor Joe. And she gave four signs of the unhealed heart. And that was a very powerful word. And so when Pastor Joshua called me to preach, and he said, you know, I know you're always studying something. And he's right, I am always studying something. And it so happened that I've been doing a study on the heart. And so that topic was on the table. I said, okay, I'm going to speak about the heart. But, you know, I'm having this inner dialogue. And I'm like, you know, Pastor Joe just preached about the heart last week. Do you want to preach about the heart again this week? And, you know, so I'm preparing the sermon because I feel led by the Spirit to preach about the heart. Because the heart is such a vast topic. You know, there are so many different branches of the heart. And so just like there are four chambers, there's a lot we could talk about the heart. And so the Holy Spirit then started to show me as I was preparing that if you want to see the condition of the heart in the world today, all you have to do is tune into the news, right? Turn on the TV, whether you like to get your fake news from CNN or maybe Fox, whichever station you want to get your news from. All you have to do is look and see the condition of the heart. You know, many of the issues that we're facing in our society and culture today are conditioned, are heart conditions. And so let's take racism, for example. For you to dislike someone over things that they had no control over, that's a heart condition. You know, for you to go into an office building with a gun or a church or a school with a gun and proceed to shoot people, possibly at one time you've had conversations with, that's a heart condition. And so I like to use myself as an example because I'm three minorities in one. I'm black, I'm a female, and I'm an immigrant. For you to look at me and dislike me over three things I had no control over. I had no control over being born black, definitely not a female, or what part of the world that I was born in. And so we see the world, if you are discerning, if you can see the condition of the heart, right? And so we've become so desensitized to it because we've become so inundated with information. We've become Gnostic. We collect knowledge. You know, but the knowledge that we're supposed to collect is the word of God because that's the only thing that can bring about change in our lives. And so we've become what I call information fatigued. We get so much information all the time. And so now we've become desensitized. The things that should actually break our hearts, we're watching them as if they're normal. And we sit and we watch because it's being played out in color. Their revolution is definitely being televised. And we are watching it. Amen. And so, in case you didn't notice, we're talking about the heart today. And the message, the title of the message is Heart Check, because our heart is something we need to check daily, not only before we've received God, but even after we receive God as Lord, and, you know, we've come into a relationship with Jesus, we need to check our hearts on a daily basis. And the first point I want to look at today is the heart versus the head. You know, because people generally consider the head, because of the brain that is located in the head, they consider the head to be the center and director of human thought and activities. Thoughts are processed in the head. But, you know, the Word of God doesn't consider the head as the center. The Word of God considers the heart to be the center of our being. The heart is the core of who we are. The real person is found in the heart. Proverbs 27:19 says, as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. When you look at a puddle of water, what do you see? You see your reflection. But if I want to see the true person, I have to look at the heart, because the things that you do comes from your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says in the New Living Translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The same verse in the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And certain translations says it's the wellspring of life. So everything you do flows from your heart. And so in the natural, we have a heart, right? And the purpose of the heart is to pump blood throughout our bodies to keep our organs working, and thus keeping us alive, because if there's no blood flow, then a person is not alive. And so in the natural, when you have sickness of the heart, if you go see your primary care, and again, we're not speaking sickness over anyone, we're just giving you an analogy. If you go see your primary care and they realize, okay, you have an issue of the heart, you have heart disease, they will send you to a cardiologist. A cardiologist specializes in the diseases of the heart. And so now when you go see a cardiologist, he or she will give you some pointers. If it's a cholesterol issue, they might say, okay, well, let's switch your diet around a little bit. Let's add more exercise. Let's add some protein, some foods that are lower in caloric density, you know, foods like vegetables and stuff like that. And so they might encourage you to do that. Now, if the problem is more severe, sometimes they might have to go in with a stent. If you're having any kind of plaque, any kind of buildup, they may have to go in and they may have to remove the blockage. Because when your heart is blocked, the thing that was supposed to flow through it, blood, is not able to flow the way it's supposed to flow. And so now if the blood is not flowing the way it's supposed to flow, that's going to bring about other sicknesses, right? And so then we see that if the heart is pumping too hard and it's pumping the heart too fast, you're going to have what's called hypertension. Your blood pressure is going to be elevated. Or if it's the opposite is happening, you're going to have hypotension. And so we see that in the natural, our heart has a purpose. The same goes in the spirit. If your heart is spiritually, if your spiritual heart is blocked, is clogged, there are things that will not be able to flow. Let's look at Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. And then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. Verse 21 says, for from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And these things, and these vile things come from within. They are what defiles you. Things like unforgiveness, offense, doubt, fear, things that keeps the love of God. See, because the love of God was supposed to free, is supposed to free, to flow freely through your heart. But when you have all of these issues, these diseases, your heart then becomes clogged. And this is what we're seeing happening in our world today. And this is why a person can take a gun and go into a school and say, you know what, I'm upset because I've been bullied. Now I'm going to take my revenge. I'm going to kill some people. Or you could go into a church and proceed to shoot people while they're in the presence of God or while they're worshiping God. Or you could go into a place where you've worked and you've actually had conversations with some of those people. Maybe you sat across from the lunchroom. Now, because you have issues, because your heart is clogged with hatred and pride and unforgiveness, now you can see, okay, well, I'm going to go and do this. And so when our hearts are not able, when the love of God is not able to flow through, then we have these issues. And you know, notice it says the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control are the byproduct of love. If you don't have love in your heart, you can't forgive nobody. If you don't have love in your heart, you're not going to be able to have patience with someone. People are going to get on your nerves just because you don't have the love of God in your heart. And so our heart then includes not only our personality, but our choices, our feelings, our decisions, intentions, and motives. All of these are found in our heart. The heart is the whole of our intellect, the thinker, decisions, our emotions, the feeler, our feelings, our will, the chooser, intentions, and motives. The heart is the center of the intellect. Let's look at that one first. The heart is the center of the intellect. Deuteronomy 8, verse 5 says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. And so we see that we can know. We have a knowing in our heart. Again, we see in Psalm 19, verse 14, that we can meditate in our heart. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We can also hide the word of God in our heart, according to Psalm 119, 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we see that all of these abilities of the heart involves the mind, right? And so secondly, we see that the heart is the center of our emotions, the feeler. The Bible speaks about having a glad heart in Exodus 4:14 and Psalm 51:17. We see the repentant heart, where David is talking to God and he says, you know, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. We see again in Proverbs 19:3 that the angry heart. And I like this verse a lot. It says, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. And Mark 7:20 says that this foolishness, right? The things that we read. And all of these actions we see, you know, are nature, have the nature in of our emotions. The heart is also the center of human will. We read in God's word that of the hardened heart. And a hardened heart is a heart that is resistant to God and refuses to follow the commands of God. And we know of the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, Exodus 4:21. And the Lord told Moses, when you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. But I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go. Now, let me make this point. Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. It's not like his heart was already, you know, his heart was already hardened. And so every time God would show his power, you know, his heart then would become hardened. And in Psalm 81, verse 12, God says, so I gave them over to their own stubborn hearts to follow their own devices, their own desires. And so when our hearts remain hardened for so long, when you think that you big, bad, all by yourself, you could do and handle your own thing, God said, okay, well, I'm going to take my hands off of this. You go ahead and let me watch you. Yeah. Let me watch you. Let me see. Yeah. And so God then will give you over to your own stubborn hearts and your own stubborn desires. You know, the word of God says that the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. But so many times we hear the voice of God, but our hearts remain hardened. And we see also in Joshua 24:23 of the heart that is yielded, the heart that is submitted to God, the opposite of a resistant heart, right? All right, then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you and turn your hearts to the people, turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And so here, Joshua is telling the people, listen, turn your hearts to God because we have our own form of idols, right? Greed is an idol. Wrong priorities, jealousy, prejudices, judgment, the way that we see people through judgment and prejudices, we see them through our hurts, we see them through the eyes of unforgiveness and the eyes of offense. Those things can become idols. And God is not satisfied when we hide the idols. He wants us to get rid of them. He wants us to get rid of the judgment. When I look at you, God wants me to see you as a child of God. He doesn't want me to see you, oh, she's a black chick, or she's white, or she's Asian, or whatever part of the world you're from. God doesn't want us to see people like that. He wants us to see people through the eyes of love. This is a child of God. Even at times when people hurt us, we have to be able to see beyond that. Because when people hurt, they hurt other people. And one thing Apostle used to tell us, he says, you become what you don't forgive. Forgiveness is important because when you think about it, if you really think about it, if you don't forgive someone, you become the very thing that you're not forgiving. And not only that, if you don't forgive, then you won't receive forgiveness too from God. And so we need to have our hearts, a heart that is open, a heart that is free of idols. And we also see a heart that is devoted to pursuing a deeper relationship with God. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, it says, "Now seek the Lord your God with all your heart and soul." So we see all of these are acts of the human will. Amen? The nature of the heart, apart from God, is diseased, as we talked about earlier. Apart from God, our hearts are diseased. And he is the great physician. And just like in the natural, we go see a doctor to relieve these issues of the heart. When your heart is clogged and your heart has unforgiveness or doubt or fear or pride, God can help, right? God is the great physician. He's the one that can bring change to our heart. So the nature and condition of the human heart apart from God is disease. And we see that the destruction of the human heart began all the way back in the Garden of Eden. This didn't happen when you were born. This preceded your birth. It happened in the Garden of Eden. And you know, when even Adam and Eve made the decision to eat of the fruit, to disobey and defy God. Now, and it was strategic on the devil's part. See, he approached the woman because the instructions were not given to her. She wasn't even here yet. She wasn't even created when God spoke to Adam. So this was a strategic plan of the enemy. And you know, I've been married for 26 years. And yes, I've been married for 26 years to my handsome hubster. Yes, the hubby. So, you know, I know that, you know, we communicate differently. Not better or worse, but differently. I read a book once called "Women Are Like Spaghetti and Men Are Like Waffles." And so this is the thought process of women. When we think about something, it's like looking at a big bowl of spaghetti. That's why we can start telling your story. We can't give you half of the story. It's like if I come home and he's like, "Babe, how was your day?" Hey, you better be ready to hear because I'm going to tell you how my day was. And so when we think, it's like looking at a big bowl of spaghetti because everything, every emotion touches the other. But men on the other hand, are more compartmentalized thinkers. So when they think, it's like they think within a box. That's why most men, I'm not going to say all men, most men are not multitaskers. You know, they have to do one thing at a time. And so this is not saying that, you know, God created men and women differently, but he created them with their own purpose. And so when Adam and Eve made that decision, I believe that maybe Adam didn't convey, you know, maybe he didn't convey the message to Eve in a way that Eve understood. And the serpent capitalized on that. The serpent used that. And so when they made that decision to defy and disobey God and to follow the serpent's temptation and to eat of the fruit of the knowledge, eat fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that decision was most destructive to the human heart because it left us open. It left us open to be filled with desires, selfish desires and evil influences, things that God never intended for us to have in our hearts. It left us open to that. So our hearts then became open to things that God never intended. Our hearts have been inclined towards sin from the moment we were born. So now, what does secular culture says? Follow your own heart. Follow your heart, or what is your heart telling you? Well, let me tell you, if you've ever given that advice to anyone, after service, you need to call them and apologize. Because follow your heart is like the worst advice you could give anyone, because following your heart, the question then should be, who's got your heart? Or who does your heart belong to? Because a heart that has not been transformed or renewed by God is not a heart that you can trust. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" We don't even know how bad our heart. We don't even know the things that we can do, the things that we can keep bottled up in our hearts. We don't even know there are things about us that we've accepted as normal, but there are things that we actually need deliverance from. This is why I wore my shirt today. No judgment allowed. A lot of us see people through the eyes of judgment and prejudice and our own perceptions before we see them as anything else. And so we need to be delivered from these things. Who really knows how bad the heart is? You don't even know how bad your heart is. You don't even probably don't even know why is it that you get upset over things that you get upset over. Why do you get angry over certain things? You know, there was a time in my life when I was, instead of having an attitude of forgiveness, I had an attitude of offense. And so what happens is when you have an attitude of offense, you're like a big magnet. You attract offense. And everything that people tell you, you're going to find offense in it. You know, if someone would tell me, well, you look like you're losing weight. Well, was I fat before? Or, you know, what you did to your face or your hair? Was I messed up before? And so for me, every compliment was a left-handed compliment because I would find something to be offended about. And so now, when you have a heart of forgiveness, you're welcome, you're open to forgive even before there's an offense. It's like you're looking for reasons to forgive people. And you don't hold things in your heart. Jeremiah 17:10 says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. The only person that can show you the true nature of your heart is God, because he's the one that searches your heart and he knows what's in your heart. You can't keep it hidden from him. You might be able to put a facade on for everybody else, but God knows what's in your heart. He knows, he searches all hearts and he examines the secret motives, the things that we may have never voiced or we may have never admitted about ourselves. God knows what they are. Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God can search our hearts. He knows. And in that same psalm, David says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. We need to check our hearts daily, asking God to create in us clean hearts and a right spirit, because it's so easy, especially in our culture today, it's so easy to become offended. It is so easy. Sometimes, you know, people are going through their own things and they're not always aware of what they're doing. And someone could have done something innocently. And you're like, man, she don't like me. Why don't she like you? What's the reason? And you know, one thing the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, be very careful of disliking people that you don't know. Be very careful, because many times, you know, the enemy would use people to bless you or use people in your life. But if the enemy have you disliking the person, even if God were to speak to you through that person, you're not going to receive it. Because the enemy then would already have your heart set on disliking the person. And I'm not saying it's okay to like people if they give you a reason to dislike them. But I'm saying be careful. Because sometimes your deliverance, someone God could use to deliver you or to bless you or to open a door for you in any way, could be sitting right next to you. But because you've got your heart set on disliking the person, God could give that person a word for you. But you know what? She don't like me anyway. And you miss out on the word that God's given you, because the enemy already has your heart set on disliking people. And so we see, lost my place in my notes, got to find my notes. Okay, so we see that only God can search the heart. Only God knows the things that are hidden, and only he can reveal those things. And you know what? It's okay to pray and say, God, bring those things to the surface. My prayer is, God, reveal to me things in my heart that I don't even know about. But let me tell you something also. When you pray that kind of prayer, be ready, be prepared. Because if you pray that prayer honestly, God will begin to show you, man, there are things that God would show me. I would be like, God, for real? Thank you. Really? And then if you don't believe it, God will bring someone about and then he will confirm it. He will confirm it. But we have to be honest and say, God, just show me. Show me what's in my heart. Show me the things that are hidden. Or even, why did I react that way? Why do I react that way? Why does this get to me the way it does? Especially if it's something minute that you know should not, something you should just be able to, you know, let roll off your back, but it gets to you. Ask God what's going on, and he will reveal it to you. The spiritually renewed heart is a pure heart. And the only way we can get that is through salvation. God's answer to the sinfulness of the human heart is transformation or regeneration through salvation. Just like the first Adam, right, disobeyed and defied God, and now our hearts are open, The same way God sent Jesus as the second Adam to undo what the first Adam did. And so it's only when we truly repent, truly when we turn to God by faith and we ask Jesus to come into our hearts as the forgiver of our sins and make him Lord of our lives, only then can we be spiritually reborn, right? Can our hearts be renewed and redeveloped? Only then can our hearts be transformed. And we can get that heart transplant that only God can do. Because he is the great physician. Ezekiel 11:19 says, I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You know, I remember there was one time the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he said, you know, you could lack compassion. And I remember I was like, because I always thought of myself as, you know, I'm a sensitive person. But the Holy Spirit would just start showing me instances where I should have reached out in compassion, but I didn't. And so I prayed. I said, God, I could be, you know, I'm a Mayborn. You know, Mayborn people can be a little stubborn. Not that I believe in, you know, astrology or anything like that. But I know a lot of Mayborn people, and we can be a little stubborn. And so I had to be honest and say, God, I want to have more compassion. I want to have more compassion. And so God had to then do that work in my heart. And he's still working on my heart, you know, because we have to check our hearts daily. I don't believe we're ever going to get to the point where we're going to stop. We're going to not have to check our hearts. Because as long as we're living in this fallen world, there's always going to be an opportunity for offense. Just like there's going to be an opportunity for forgiveness, there's always going to be an opportunity for offense. And so a heart of flesh is a heart that is tender and receptive, where the love of God flows without any blockage, a heart that will respond to God's word, a teachable, a pliable, a moldable heart, like a clay, where God can just mold your heart and shape it. A heart that desires the things of God, a heart that breaks for the things that breaks his heart. You know, the word of God says that we're to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. But when he does that, it's because he's going to transform our hearts. He's going to renew our hearts. So now the things that we desire are the things that he desires. God ain't just going to come and give you everything you desire, because your heart, if your heart's not in the right place, your desires are not going to be the right desires. Your desires are not going to be aligned with what God wants for you. And so his desires, he's going to start giving you his desires. When you look at people, you're not going to see them as whatever you used to see them before. You're going to see them as children of God. And when someone hurt you, they say something harsh to you, you're going to look past that and see the hurt and reach out to that person in compassion. Praise God. Thank you, Father. At this moment, I just want to invite Minister Kendi to close out in prayer. And if you're here today and you just really want to, you want God to do a work in your heart, if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes and just allow the Spirit of God right now to deal with you. Reveal to him. Speak to him right now those things that you know that are hidden within your heart, that maybe you've never voiced to a single person. God wants to do a work in your heart this afternoon. He wants to come in and do something. He wants to perform surgery. He wants to remove the blockage. He wants to remove the pride. He wants to remove the unforgiveness. He wants to remove the doubt, the fear, all of the things that are keeping your heart blocked, because he wants his love to flow freely through your hearts. Amen? Amen.
Thank you. Let's stay right there. If there is anybody like Francesca said who is dealing with an issue in your heart, I just want to pray over you. So if you can raise your hand, an intercessor will come and pray with you, and I'll pray over you. And if you're not clear on what those heart issues can be, they can be, like she said, offense, unforgiveness, fear, pride, jealousy, lust, any heart issues. Thank you. Father, we just thank you that your word says that you came to set the captive free. And I just release, Lord God, your freedom, Lord God, to every heart in this place right now, Lord God. Whatever the struggle is, Lord God, it ends today, Lord. We come, Lord God, against every oppressive spirit, and we command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Those who are dealing with a broken heart, Lord God, your word says that you mend the brokenhearted, Lord God. I release healing to those hearts right now in the name of Jesus. You are making them whole, Lord God. You are renewing minds, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. I release the mind of Christ, Lord God, over each individual in this place right now in the name of Jesus. I release the spirit of truth in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Your word says that your truth makes us free, Lord God. So I release the spirit of truth to each person right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the lies of the enemy. I come against the spirit of deception. I cancel its assignment in the name of Jesus. I come, Lord God, against the lies that will tell them that they're not good enough. The lies, Lord God, that give them low self-esteem, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Lies that give them identity crises, Lord God. I cancel that assignment right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for your peace, Lord God, in people's minds that are turmoil, Lord God. I release peace, Father God. You are Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, Lord God. I come against the spirit of fear, Father God. I cancel its assignment right now in the name of Jesus. Your word says that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I come, Lord God, against any rebellion, any pride, Lord God. I stamp it out right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray and I ask that you help us to be honest with ourselves, Lord God, that we pray like Francesca said, and say, Father, examine my heart. Show me if there's any wicked thing inside of me. Create in me a clean, pure heart. Renew your right spirit within me, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your complete work. That you don't do a halfway work. You do a complete work in each and every one of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.